This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt and Brett here today. Brett, Greta Call from MinnPost is posting an image, a video of a beaver walking down the street in Lowertown. Now, that is not the setup for a joke. It's actually a beaver is walking down the street in Lowertown. Come on, grow up, people. But I mean, is this a normal Lowertown thing? I retweeted it. You can see it up on my Twitter feed. At Matt McNeil Show, at Matt McNeil Show on Twitter. Is this a normal Lowertown thing? I mean, he's going to get coffee, for God's sakes. I mean, yeah, I mean Lowertown, that's where you're going to get your more, you know, kind of a rougher part of town there. You're going to get a little bit of a more diverse, angrier native species, experience down there. I would not mess with the turkeys. I will not, do not mess with Lowertown.
That sounds like a battle right there. The St. Paul beavers and the Minneapolis turkeys going at it.
No. Let's give them their own neighborhoods. The Lowertown beavers versus the Northeast Minneapolis turkeys. Because those Northeast Minneapolis turkeys, man, that is a gang you do not want to cross, man. That is, when you were talking yesterday about the violence interrupters. You know what thing? One thing the violence interrupters do not mess with? Freaking turkeys of Northeast Minneapolis, man. You do not mess with them.
I think the turkeys could be the violence interrupters.
They will cut you. They're tattooed.
They're tattooed. Oh man. They're brutal.
This beaver's seriously, I love this picture, this video of this beaver walking around the streets in Lowertown. Just because it's just like he looks like just some standard guy just going, "Yeah, I got to go to the office today." Oh, crap. Hate this late winter stuff. Just an angry beaver roams Lowertown.
Defiantly wearing shorts.
Oh no, he's not wearing. No, he's ready to whack you with that tail. He will thump you. He will just. He does not want to go into the office today. I don't blame you, dude. It's a normal Lowertown thing. It's a beaver. You live in a water state, for God's sakes. I mean, I've seen beavers. God. Well, okay. Before the double entendres and the innuendos starts. Do not mess with the beavers of Lowertown, okay? Do not mess with the Lowertown beavers, all right? Went over to the Mall of America today. No beavers in the Mall of America, all right? I went over there. They are, though, prepped, all ready to go for the Women's Final Four. Tons of stuff over there with that. And that was fun. It got busy. I had to dominate my daughter's on spring break. I had to dominate her at the mini golf. Dominate her.
Oh, you're the mini golf player, huh?
Well, I'm okay. Whoa. Hey, I don't want to go pro or anything, but no, actually I suck. But she sucks worse, so guess what? I dominated. It was nice. I went and grabbed some lunch out there, hiked around a little bit. It was nice to get out, and of course, Mall of America was packed. It was getting packed. How many times have I said this on this show? I didn't think when I heard, you're going to open a big mall in Minnesota? Well, we got the Dales. I don't get it. And I was wrong. That brings in more freaking people than I could ever say. And of course, if you've ever seen me on camera, you know that I get dressed at Burberry. So, I mean, I got style. Actually, no, I don't. I'm lucky if I get the stuff they throw out of Ragstock. But still, slack or casual. It's my thing. It is my thing. Have you been over there? Will you go over there, perchance? I mean, do you have tickets to go to the Women's Final Four at all?
I do not know.
Do you? Have you heard? Paige Beckers is coming back.
I was going to make that guy. Is she? I heard she's from Minnesota, isn't she?
Oh, God.
Maybe Hopkins?
It's like, I was watching, what was it, like Channel 9 sports team was acting like 8-year-olds and Billie Eilish just showed up, for God's sakes. Stop.
We love our native athletes.
Oh my God, maybe she'll like me. We can be BFFs forever. Oh my God, that'd be so awesome. Thank you. Thank you, sports reporters. I'm so glad you guys can keep it under control a little bit. Paige, welcome
back.
Bring
in those Minnesota ties to anything they can find.
It's great to see Paige get the thing. I saw her play. My kids go to Hopkins. We go out there. It's like, boy, she's good.
Yeah, she was your son's age, right? So, yeah, you've probably seen her for years before she was well-known.
Eighth grade or something like that. Yeah. She was lethal then. I was like, yeah. Yeah. You could just see the teams in the conference just kind of, crap. Just, you could see it. But, no, she was a good player. I'm glad she's at UConn. She's got a great – this is the point in her life. And maybe it's because she went to school with my son. And my son is like – you know, you're out of the nest. Go. It's time for you to figure out what you're going to do with your life. All my best to her. I'm not going to be one of these people that's like, you know, I hear you've been negotiating peace in the Middle East, but you're one of us. Tell us more about when you grew up for 2 years in Inver Grove Heights. You know, it's like, come on. Let it go. Just let it go. It doesn't have to be the lead on every freaking person that just happened to stop by and get a Dairy Queen ice cream cone in Minnesota at some point. I'm still looking at this beaver running through lower town, man. And by the way, I love the end of the video because it finally sees the person videoing it. And it's like, just, oh, what are you doing? Come on, man. Stop it. 952-946-6205. Go see that. I retweeted it. It's on my Twitter feed at Matt McNeil Show from Greta Call. Today would have been my dad's birthday. Dad passed away a few years ago. My dad used to sometimes tell me things I did not want to hear. You know, he was very good that you could not improve yourself. You could not get better unless you realized where your faults were. And you couldn't. You have to be able to understand where you're failing and then be able to fix it or change the dynamic to where that's not nearly the problem it was. And you know what? My dad was 100% right. He was. I miss him. This morning, AOC went to New York Magazine and put out a editorial, I guess would be the word for it, warning that the Democrats, we're in trouble. Now, before anyone says, I love AOC. This is why this hurts, is because I love AOC. I think she's fantastic. But to see her fall into the same exact trap as Democrats have fallen into time and time again is just the biggest thing. I mean, you know, sometimes it gets just so damn frustrating to watch Democrats reload their gun so they can shoot themselves in the foot as many times as possible and then act smug like, see, I did something. Stop. Not only am I tired of Democrats screwing up very winnable races, very winnable elections, I'm also just tired of this pathetic nature of argument that the Democrats sometimes get into. Now, I'm going to be harsh, and I know I'll get letters to the boss. I know it. But someone has got to sit down with you guys in the Democratic Party and smack you guys awake. And if it's got to be me, fine. It's got to be me. I don't look for these opportunities. But when I see this, when I see one of the leaders of the Democratic Party out there saying, we might as well give up this election cycle. Shut up. Brett and I have talked often about the Democrats' inability to sometimes hit the layup for the win. And somehow they not only miss the layup, they miss the backboard completely, give a guy in the stands a concussion, and somehow break their own damn leg. It is amazing the Democrats' ability to do this. The Democrats' failures come down to three things. And some of these things we've talked about, so a little repetitive, but they come down to three things. The first problem that they have is they have a real bad habit of looking at someone that agrees with them 90% of the time and focusing on the 10% that they don't agree with and saying, that's everything. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of you whiny little babies sitting there with someone who agrees with you on 90% of what you want. but you sit there and he didn't give me the pony I wanted. That is not how you win this game. It's not. It's not how you win this game. 2000. Ralph Nader, Democrats. Jeez. And I know there's a lot of Ralph Nader fans, but God, I remember you guys, how pompous and arrogant you were, proud that you cost Al Gore the election. Now we're going to have the Democratic Party do what we want. Then came 9/11. And all of a sudden, your brags about putting W in power weren't really that big, especially when we got to an unjustified war in Iraq. All of a sudden, you weren't bragging. So, why are you guys picking on us? It wasn't like he should have appealed to Mark. We could have. No, you guys went around and proudly talked about how the 10% we disagree on is the most important thing. It was a shame. I mean, that was just a debacle. No less of a debacle than about 10 years later. Went after Barack Obama and Joe Biden, passed, got the Affordable Care Act passed. I have talked about this for years, how that should have been a signature piece of a legislation that should have won Democrats' elections for decades. But then we got the second problem. The first problem is Democrats, once again, have a tendency of focusing on the few differences between Democrats as opposed to the fact that we agree on 90 to 95% of everything. The second problem you guys have is you buy the Republican press so damn quickly. Now, it does not surprise me that we're hearing this from Democrats now. It does not surprise me. And the reason why is that Republicans are a freaking mess. If you don't believe me, wait till we get to the 5 o'clock hour. Holy God, that party is imploding internally. They've got Trump Republicans. They got people talking about how they're going to impeach Joe Biden, that they're going to do a don't say gay national don't gay, say gay bill. They're going to basically go on out there and impeach Biden, throw Fauci in jail. They're going to let all the 1-6 terrorists out of jail. They're already talking about this, that they're going to insist that Donald Trump is the Speaker of the House. They're loon balls. And so the Republicans have got to get as many Democrats to stay home as possible. Because if the Democrats show up like they did in 2020, they are going to get such an ass kicking, it will not be funny. So they are frantically, and trust me, they are spending millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to convince Democrats to give up. And I can say this because let's go back to 2010. How many pathetic Democrats, after the Affordable Care Act was passed, sat there and, we're so sorry we wanted to give you affordable and competent health care. Oh gosh, we were so sorry. Because the Republicans convinced the Democrats the Affordable Care Act was overreach. Please, it was underreach, if anything. But my God, how many Democrats that year, we're so sorry we passed it. We should have never done that. And funny, as soon as the 2010 election was over, and all of a sudden, like, wow, a lot of people seem to like the Affordable Care Act. Maybe we should have used that as a focus of our campaign. You think? God. The Republicans go find one family that had absolute crap insurance. One of those insurances where they're paying $25 a month and they only got a flu shot in September. On a certain day in September. And they said, and they brought that family out and said, thanks to Barack Obama, my insurance now costs $300 more a month. Yeah, because you had crap insurance that didn't cover anything. You're welcome. You got a $325 insurance plan that covers everything in your family. You're welcome. Nope. Democrats didn't fight back. They basically ate and devoured the Republican talking points and kept apologizing and apologizing. Problem one, Democrats that look at other Democrats and don't see the 90 to 95% they agree on and only focus on the 5 to 10% that they disagree on. Number two, stupid Democrats that basically follow Republican talking points. And frankly, I'm looking at you, AOC. Stop doing the Republicans' bidding. Take a break, come back, and I'll tell you about number three when I do return. Jeff Stein coming on in as well. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. In celebration of my father, today was his birthday. He passed away a few years ago. And his willingness to try to sit down with you and try to help you fix your problems, I am doing the same thing. After that AOC editorial this morning, I said enough's enough. Because, frankly, are you Democrats paying attention to what the hell's going on in this country right now? Democrats have a really good chance at picking up seats in the House and the Senate. They do, gloom and doom. Which, by the way, gets to my third point, gloom and doom. Now, once again, the first point is Democrats, there are way too many Democrats who sit out there and only focus on the 5 or 10% they disagree with other Democrats. And I'm going to vote against you because you're not going to give me the colored pony I want. I wanted a brown one. You gave me a white one. Where's my ice cream cone? God, stop it. And by the way, wasn't that 2016 as well? It was, guys. It was. She's not exactly 100% of Ella. And so I'm going to stay home. And yes, indeed. The margins of Democrats who did not vote that election would have won Hillary, of at least a few of the states. That's tough love, people. That's tough love. And that's just the reality. Stop it. You agree with them on 90% of the things. They're with you. They're not against you. Only idiots would look at people that agree with them on 90% of the time and say, you're against me. Stop it. I don't need the drama. Number two, stop basically parroting the Republican talking points. They need Democrats to stay home. So they're going to go on out there and tell you every bill you passed was bad. Everything that you did was horrible. Look at the infrastructure bill. Republicans saying it's the worst bill ever. But down in secret, what are they doing? Oh, I'm really the one that's responsible for that. If it's a bad bill, why are they trying to take credit for it? Ta-da! See, it's a good bill. Or stop with the, we're already doomed this election cycle. We're not going to win. We're doomed. Oh, no. Shut up. Quit and get out of the way because there are Democrats that want to win as opposed to you who are sitting there and having a pity party for yourself 8 months before the election. Go. Go, 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 go. Hey. Number three, the gloom and doom. How about... And I saw this, and this is an ugly side of the Democratic Party. I saw this when Biden won, and it was election night, and he hadn't won, and Trump was in the lead, but they still had a lot of states that were still counting votes. And what was this thing you heard from some of the Democrats? We lost! We lost! And they, you know, Biden was like, no, we won. You know, the numbers in Pennsylvania, we won Pennsylvania. We're winning Michigan. We're going to win. We got a chance at winning Arizona and Georgia. We won. Instead, you guys, because you love being the lovable loser, don't you? You love to try to find the rain cloud. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You can win if Democrats show up in force every stinking election. This is over. Once again, the Republicans need a large portion of the Democrats to stay home, especially this year. Their party is a freaking mess. It is, you know, a real Housewives episode in a Jack Daniels distillery on a tilt-a-whirl. It is a freaking mess. That was pretty good, actually. I like that one. We got to remember that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That was off the top of my head. That's not bad. It is. Their party is. And trust me, 5 o'clock hour, grab some popcorn, kids. We're going to have some fun. They need you. So they need AOC to write this. We're already lost. We've already lost. Oh, please, just stop it. Joe Biden, in 14 months, staved off a good portion of a pandemic, passed an infrastructure bill, which is so good most of the Republicans are trying to take credit for it, even though they voted against it, has jump-started the economy and rebuilt NATO in 14 months. But yet there are Democrats out there. He's like, where's my free college? Why isn't there single-payer health care? Why can't all this stuff be done immediately? Stop, you pathetic people. Stop it. What? So Joe Biden, who's been able to do all this already, he's supposed to spend, what, 2 months on a bill? Let's go with free college. Senate Republicans are never going to pass that. Manchin and Sinema will never go along with that. So you're saying that you want Joe Biden to go and spend 2 months on a bill that's got no chance at getting out of Congress. And even if it did get out of Congress, the Supreme Court would shoot it down 2 seconds after it got passed and signed. 2 seconds. And not only that, but then you'd give Republicans talking points all day long. You consider that a win? You think that's a win?
We lost. It was horrible. But we won in the day. We won at the end of the...
No, you didn't. You got your ass handed to you. Stop trying to turn the freaking tornado into a sunny day. Joe Biden has given you more than enough to win your election this cycle. If you dare, if your Democrat dares tell me about, we're going to lose, I will take you down right there with a verbal abuse that will make you want to never be in politics again. Do you understand me? If I hear any Democrat come at me again with this, we're going to lose, just shut up, quit, and get out of the way. You're the problem. You're not the solution. You've fallen in love with your own press. You've fallen in love with the fact that you think you're clever. You're just a roadblock. If you can't win with what Joe Biden has given you, then you shouldn't be in politics. Period. I don't care which district you are in, the most conservative Democratic district or the most liberal. If you can't win with what Joe Biden has given you, then just get out of the way. And stop the three things that you need to stop. Stop looking at other Democrats who agree with you on 90 to 95% of things and acting like they're your enemy. Stop listening to Republican talking points and convincing yourself that you need to do the bidding of the freaking Republicans and bash your own party, and stop gloom and dooming it, you freaking nightmares. Stop it. Right now, Joe Biden is going to help the Democrats win, and they can win seats in the House and in the Senate. But as long as Democrats don't just sit there and say, we should quit today, because there's no room for that. If you don't have the stomach, the character, or the spine to fight this fight, then just get out of the way. And shut up on social media. You're not helping. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. A few things to get to with Jeff Stein. A few. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Jeff
Stein is our national and presidential expert, also our own version of a Real Housewives episode in a Jack Daniel's distillery on a tilt-a-whirl. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com, the Iowa Business Report's The Daily Show down there, as well as the Iowa Politics Report from KXEL Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
Are you okay? You sounded upset in the last segment.
I am upset.
Did you not get invited to Madison Cawthorn's parties or what?
those little Puritan get-togethers? No.
She's in cocaine is what the report is.
The edge, my friend. I don't just go with the cuddle parties. No. I'm sorry. That AOC article in the New York Mag where she's out there saying Democrats are in trouble. It's like, for God's sakes. Okay, let's say 14 months, he's basically stemmed the pandemic. He's basically given an infrastructure bill that's so good that Republicans are trying to take credit for it. He's jump-started the economy. He's brought NATO back with the whole thing in Ukraine. He's done pretty good for 14 months, but yet because they're doing the same thing they did with Nader, with the same thing that happened in 2016. You don't agree. I agree with you 90% of the time, but I'm only going to focus on the 10% of the time, and that means we're all doomed, oh, gloom and doom, blah, blah, blah. I'm tired of it.
This is going to sound like I'm diminishing her, and I don't mean to, but she seems to be very focused on her image and her agenda. And to your point, they're not being fully served 150%, so therefore we're in trouble, quote unquote. And you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the problem is, given her location representing the largest city in the country, she gets a disproportionate amount of attention paid to her. And, it's the same thing on the right with this, we're going to steamroll. Really, look at a map. I don't think you're going to steamroll. And for the same reasons you just mentioned, we're doomed. Really? Are we doomed?
Well, and I'll tell you what, one of the things that always, it's a trend, and you can probably agree with this. The Republicans are so good at messaging that when they know it's going to be a tough year, and this is a tough year, I don't know about you in Iowa, but up here in Minnesota, we have open internal fighting within county GOP contests. I'll get to this in the 5 o'clock hour. But it's a mess. Plus, you've got this huge fight between the extreme far right and then regular Republicans who want to look like they like Trump, but understand that it's a hard sell, especially for moderates. And so it's kind of one of those things where this big fight going on. Whenever Republicans are in trouble on that level, they spend a lot of money to basically get Democrats to beat up on themselves. And the Democrats just seem to freaking oblige. And that is just, I get so frustrated by that.
Well, and there's a difference between having an open primary, having an open conversation, discussion of issues, choose between candidates, and what becomes a scorched earth philosophy.
Yes.
You know, I don't agree with, okay, this person looks like they've got the best chance, so everybody better just go home. No, give the voters a choice, but how about a respectful conversation that at least leaves somebody standing at the end, as opposed to a punch-drunk fighter in an MMA cage.
Absolutely. All right. Let's put that aside for a second, because I think we both agree that it's just there is some toxicity that is exists within both parties.
You want to put that aside because you want to talk about Madison Cawthorn's party.
Oh, no. Oh, God, no. Oh, sweet Lord, no. Yeah. Oh, my God. 7 hours, 38 minutes. Okay. So, and my favorite part of this whole thing about the Trump call list from 1-6 that really wasn't released was the last call he made that they actually acknowledged they would not say who he made that call to. And so it's like, I'm like, was that like Domino's? Hello, I like 2 buckets of your extra crispy delivered to the mall. Thanks. You know, that's, I really kind of, you and I have said this for, my God, 30 years. You and I have said this for a long time.
Yes.
It's not the crime. It's the cover-up. And when you are that brazen, you're like, there was no calls to the White House during the 1-6 insurrection. Even Republicans are like, okay, guys, that doesn't make any sense.
It's a trap game, and here's how. They already have subpoenaed everybody else's phone records, right? They think of people like Jim Jordan. He had said, well, no, I didn't really talk to anybody at the White House. And then his phone records came out. Oh, you know, come to think of it, there were a couple of calls. I was busy that day. I just didn't remember. Okay. So they've got Meadows' cell phone. They've got Jordan's cell phone. They've got all these other people's cell phones. So to not have the White House phone records suggests something that's a bit nefarious, especially when you realize whoever's investigating already has the other half of the conversation.
Yeah.
So therefore it looks even worse. I mean, here's the thing. Let's say you call me on my cell phone. Well, my cell phone record showed you called. Your cell phone record showed you called. If I decide not to share my cell phone records and they can't get them any other way, there's still evidence of a conversation. I mean, this is about as elemental as you can get. And it's fascinating that they would block that out. They would redact it. They would lose it. I'm doing air quotes. Because there are two parties to every conversation, mm-hmm. and they've already gotten the records from the other people, don't you think?
And you and I have talked about the comical nature of burner phones. And when Trump immediately like, I don't know what a burner phone is. And immediately Bolton comes on out and says, oh, he knows what those are. I mean, they were around all the time in the White House. And I mean, it's clear. Okay. And not only the phone records, we know where everyone was at. It's clear that the White House was coordinating, maybe not, I would pray not directly the people on the ground at 1-6, but it does seem like at their, you know, command centers around town in the hotels, those were the places where there seemed to be some direct contact with the people that were storming the Capitol. And those included people like Bannon and Giuliani in these rooms. And I think it's pretty clear that this is, you know, at this point, we know all what happened. It just is, you know, it's to a point now where how long can Trump play the stupid? Well, he can play it stupid really well, but how long is he going to be able to play it with the facts mounting against him? I really, you know, it's pretty clear what's happened here.
Okay, but the trick is the proof, and the trick is connecting it with him. And this is something we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. People in his position, and I don't mean president, I mean prior to that in the business community, there's always plausible deniability. There's always a stooge somewhere down the line who will take the fall. There's always a filter so that nothing sticks. Teflon, okay? So if, in fact, they cannot directly tie it, you're going to know what happened, but you're not going to be able to prove it. The trick is, in these kinds of situations with phone records, that's where you can make a connection.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mr. McNeil, you made a phone call to this number. Who is that? Well, if you dummy up, they're going to be able to tell you who it was because they're going to find out who had the phone. And if it was a track phone they bought at the CVS on the way, well, then that's going to, again, if that same burner number starts showing up with Meadows and Bannon and Giuliani and Jordan, for example, we don't know who this phone number is. It's a mystery caller, but they happen to be talking to all these people.
With the triangulation in the White House, we figured out it was someone in the White House with this burner phone talking about it. Go ahead, please.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like if there's this mystery number that is unaccounted for, but it seems to have all the other people's numbers to call. Okay, that starts then closing. But again, the good people, good criminals, can figure out a way to not have anything stick to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that from, you know, time immemorial. So is this a level of insulation with the actual office of the president that is going to stick? I don't know. Son-in-law is supposedly testifying before the committee tomorrow without the ability to claim executive privilege.
Yeah, well, and okay, and here's the thing, and this is, you and I have said this as well. It seems like it was an insurrection, an attempt to overthrow the government conducted by some of the stupidest people on the freaking planet. And if, you know, God forbid they actually had some intelligence going around with this because it might have actually succeeded. But the reality is in, and this just what you just said, you're right. You cannot, if they can't stick it to them, then fine. That's what got Nixon was they finally stuck. They finally had the connection. It was over.
The second
they decided to go to all burner phones, I mean, it would have been much better for them to have someone have a few calls in there to say, oh, yeah, well, the phones were working. It's just we weren't talking about it. Now every investigator is now looking, okay, which phone numbers were all these people calling that we don't seem to know whose they were? Where were those phones at? And where, you know, and who bought them? Oh, here's this person from the White House going to CVS and buying burner phones. That's the problem is that you're right, but Trump himself has laid out the path to get rid of all that, did he know or not? It's clear when you go to burner phones at the White House that he knew that there was things that he did not want getting out there. But because he and the crew he surrounded himself are complete morons, they basically, oh, yeah, there was no calls. We were sitting there. We were watching the entire Godfather trilogy. That's a great movie. Was something going on that day? You know, it is a great movie, truly.
I'm stuck now on the trilogy. It was a great movie.
Yeah, it was a great scene. Oh, Fredo. He was my hero in that. Anyway, you knew that was coming.
Okay, first, we don't know there were burner phones.
We don't know.
However, here's what I'm saying. We don't know that there were burner phones because we haven't been told this.
Yes.
We do know that there's a 7-hour gap where you have to believe the president of the United States, as the Capitol is under, occupation. I'm trying to use whatever neutral phrase I can. The president of the United States is not on the phone at any point during that 7-hour period. That's what they would have you to believe, right? Because that's what we see from the phone records. So if the guy who refused to give up his cell phone so he could tweet randomly is not on the phone during that time, you get to the point where it lacks credulity, it lacks believability. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to say, now, wait a minute, the guy who is the most quote-unquote connected and tweets all hours of the day and night isn't on a phone for 7 hours? I mean, and so then that leads you to, well, he must have been talking to people. Then that leads you to the concept of what numbers are on everybody's call received list.
Yes.
And we go back to the CVS because he had a coupon for a burner phone. I don't know.
The smarter plan, and this is something he's done as well, is to grab other people's phones. And he's done that. Where he's asked Secret Service agents if he can borrow their phone for a few minutes and make a call. And that's one way, you know, because then comes the culpability, the ability for him to say, I don't know. He says I took the phone. I didn't take the call. He must have made the call. He must have been talking to someone. And so, if you think about it, my gut feeling will be he will come back and say, oh, yeah, I talked to people, but I talked to people on other people's cell phones, like a guy that just had his plans shut off. And so that's going to be an interesting argument.
I thought they got my payment.
Oh, damn you, T-Mobile. Well,
it's kind of like, I'm going back now. There was a TV show by the name of Longmire, and the shtick of it, it's Wyoming, Montana, one of these states, a rural county sheriff, and he never had a cell phone. So he's always calling from someone else's phone, and then they pick up thinking it's somebody else. No, it's the sheriff. Is this what we're going to have here where it's like, oh, hey, Ivanka. No, it's actually the president. What? Okay, I don't know. I don't know how many people would just own up the phones at that point.
All it takes, then, all it takes is one of those people to say, because of all you can connect him to one phone call. He needs everyone to fall in a sword. He needs everyone to fall in a sword for him.
And again, all right, so now let's go with the fact that it's a borrowed cell phone. All right, we'll play that one out as opposed to a burner.
Yeah.
Again, how many different people? You know he's on that thing constantly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how many different people got a call from, Secret Service Agent Smith's cell phone? How would all of these different people get a call that afternoon from this same number? See, that's the way you close the loop. If you're the one trying to avoid being detected, you don't use the White House phone, you don't use your own cell phone, but you've got to use a lot of different phones. And, okay, I don't know how many people are in the inner circle there who just happen to have a cell phone handy because isn't there a level of security with communication? Even if you work at the White House, I mean, did he get, you know, Frida in the kitchen who frosts the cinnamon rolls to hand over the phone? I don't know. I mean, it starts getting to be, I have new character, Frida in the kitchen
with the cinnamon rolls. Yes.
The cinnamon roll. I'll let you do your impression about how tasty cinnamon rolls are. But the point is
there you go.
No, I wanted a Trump impression about cinnamon rolls.
You're my only friend this morning. You'd be great with a burger. God.
It's a burger in a cinnamon. Didn't Krispy Kreme do that or somebody where it was like a hamburger in between a donut?
Yes.
That would be outstanding. And again.
Go ahead.
Off we go. A perfectly serious conversation goes right off the rails. But again, here's the exit point in essence. They obviously have leaked the information about the phone record for a reason. They obviously have enough with regard to these other phone records. That's how you connect the dots. That's how you make, and I don't mean to go too far with this, that's how you make a RICO case, racketeering case, because you connect those seemingly dissimilar dots. That's the prosecution that they're laying out.
And all it takes is one of those people to say, no, Donald Trump took my phone. He made those calls. That wasn't me. And if he has one person do that, then it starts to unfold real fast. Let's take a break. I want to come on back.
Is it Jared on Thursday? Is Jared the one who does? Because he's testifying, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is he the one who says, I'm tired of this old man always getting in my way? I mean, is he the one who flips?
Ivanka. Might be, because let's face it, she went up there. Remember the story is she went up there and was telling him to call this off. If he borrowed her phone, she might throw him under the bus. We'll have to see.
You want me to call it off? Give me a phone.
There you go. Let's take a break. Come on back. The hits keep on coming for Trump because this ruling against him and Eastman in this case is extraordinary. We'll talk about that when we do return. Jeff Stein on a Wednesday. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Sorry when I was dead. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, in the there was a ruling of Judge Carter made a ruling. Eastman, Trump's a lawyer that was basically the guy that wrote up this legal brief that said that the vice president can overthrow an election. He was trying to argue that he shouldn't have to release all of his documents because he was acting as a agent for Trump as a lawyer. But once again, there's a little rule there that if you're committing a crime and you know you're committing a crime, you can't use, lawyer-client privilege as a way to prevent things from getting out there. The Carter ruling, and there's a lot of things that back up every one of these statements, says Trump likely knew his efforts to overturn the election were not legitimate, that his claims of voter fraud were nonsense. Carter says Eastman almost certainly knew that he was proposing was illegal, and he uses Eastman's own notes to prove it. Carter found Eastman was consistently advised that his plan was illegal, but he tried to enact it anyway, as well as Carter then concluded that Trump and Eastman simply wanted to conduct a coup and the facts and the law be damned. And so, he basically said you have to turn everything over because even by their own notes, it's pretty clear. And especially there were a lot of Republicans that went up to those guys and said, no, you just can't do this.
The problem you have as a lawyer, I'm speaking as one, is that when you have certain demanding clients, you are backed into a corner to come up with unique legal theories in order to try to make the client's case. Now, it is unethical to advance to the court something that you know is illegal or without any merit whatsoever. You present whatever you can to your client as options, but the problem here is you can't get away with saying, well, this is unsettled law because, and so therefore we can make whatever claim we want because maybe it's unsettled because it was so crystal clear going in, nobody in their right mind would ever challenge it. And that's what leads you to where you are now.
The same time, though, you as a good lawyer, Jeff, you wouldn't go out there and say, you know, I stabbed him, but he loves shish kebab. You know, you don't try to make an argument that is so ludicrous on its face value that it's dishonest, it's disingenuous. And the court kind of does look at that in that kind of way. It's just, you know, they can try to say, oh, well, I was trying to defend my client the best I could. The reality is there comes a point where you just, if you have a lot of other lawyers, especially constitutional lawyers, saying, mm-hmm. no, this is garbage, including Vice President Pence saying, where are you getting this? I do not have that authority. And he's saying, no, in theory, you have the authority. You know, this is where, and this is Eastman's in trouble. Now, I'm sure they're probably going to appeal this to the Supreme Court, but even that Supreme Court is not going to say, oh, yeah, we're going to protect, you know, these notes in this point.
You've only got three reliable conservative votes on that court, as demonstrated by other rulings that are tied to Trump-era things. And so you're going to see potentially a 6-3 ruling against with only three supporting the viewpoint of the president and his counsel on this. So, you know, you're right. You cannot advance, well, you're saying there's a chance. No, that is not a legal argument. A quote from Dumb and Dumber is not a legal argument that you can make, at least not successfully and not ethically. You're correct.
I just, you know, this has been a bad week for Trump. And
he got a hole in one playing golf.
Mini golf.
Right? He was playing golf on one of his courses. Ernie Els was his playing partner, PGA professional. He got a hole in one and issued a news release about it. That tells you about everything you need to know. It was the most finely crafted news release. The wind was moving from right to left, et cetera.
He also asked Russia to basically try to ruin Biden and overthrow the American government. So, yeah, not exactly the hero.
In between the hole in one and then the 17th hole. Yes.
He did. Iowa Politics Report. I'll post it later. Thanks, Jeff. Hour two is up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Brett, earlier we were talking about the beaver walking in Lower Town. That someone caught on camera just walking down the street and, you know, on the sidewalk in Lower Town. So let's run through the gamut of wild animals that have shown up on the streets of Minneapolis-St. Paul. Bears have occasionally shown up. Turkeys. Beavers. Raccoon. We had the raccoon that climbed the NPR building. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
NPR raccoon. Oh, yeah. They're... I've always said this about the Minnesota Zoo. Don't tell me you paid money for those raccoons, because you can come to my neighborhood and I can give you six right away. Easy. Have we had a possum problem?
I haven't heard any possums yet.
No possum. They used to have, well, I saw a snowy owl out on a few years back, but they used to have snowy owls nesting on the University of Minnesota campus. So that's and you don't want to mess with an owl, man. Owl will take you down. Now, that's just, you're going to lose that fight. Deer are everywhere.
Yeah,
there are deer down in Loring Park in downtown Minneapolis. Over at Gold Medal Park, there are deer that are over there. They must, my guess is they must kind of, during the day, nest on the riverside there, right by where the 35W Bridge Memorial is, on that right over there.
Yeah.
That's my guess, because, I mean, are they over by the football stadium? I mean, I don't think they are. What else have we had? Anything? Well, muskrats, tons of muskrats, tons of woodchucks. Anything else off the top of your head?
No. As you were saying, deer is kind of par for the course at this point. That's not a surprise. But, yeah, that's more animals than I remembered wandering around the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Well, lynx you don't see. My dad, and I brought my father earlier. My dad was driving on the road. This is before they redid everything, from Virginia out to Gilbert, Minnesota, and he was on that little side road. I think it's 135 or 153 that goes between Virginia and Gilbert, right by where the dump is up there. Saw lynx go around across the road. He said that was the first lynx he'd ever seen. He was 70-something. That was the first one he ever saw in the wild. The only time I ever saw a mountain lion in the wild, it was actually Canadian. On the Canadian side, I was on the Loon River. We dropped in at Crane Lake. We went up the Loon River to go fishing up at Loon Lake up on the border. And I saw it go up the hill there. And I was like, wow, coyotes. We've got coyotes everywhere.
Yeah, those are everywhere, Yeah.
And no Acme jetpacks. So we don't get wolves down here. I think the closest we've gotten on wolves is like Mille Lacs area. There's a few years back, there was some sighting of some wolves that got that. I don't know if they rounded them up or whatever. Moose don't come down anymore, at least. They don't come down further than really kind of the northern end of Duluth, do they? I haven't heard of a moose coming down this far south.
Yeah, that would be a sight to see, a moose in the Twin Cities.
God. He's looking to get lucky.
Yeah.
He's looking to get lucky. He's okay, no more lower tone. I'm not doing any more lower town jokes, okay. Speaking of raucous environments, it's always fun when I have a story about a crime that happens in a bar I've been in. Good. Two people stabbed during a fight in a northern Minnesota bar on Wednesday. St. Louis County Sheriff's Office responded to the report of a fighting involved multiple people at the Sawmill Saloon. That's in Mountain Iron. Do you know the Sawmill?
I do not, no.
You go up 53 through Virginia, and right before you get to 169 up there, there's a good old there the Sawmill. That is. So I remember reading a historic book about bars in like the early 1800s, and you'd go into a bar in the early 1800s, and your two choices were get drunk or get blind drunk. Those were your only two options. The Sawmill Saloon is more of the blind drunk kind of place. there's some hard drinkers in there. I don't go there anymore because there's a lot of hard drinkers in there. And also now apparently knives. Authorities learned two people that had been stabbed during the altercation were taken fairly quickly because the hospital's right up the road there to the Virginia Regional Medical Center, where they treated for non-threatening injuries and released. The investigation into the fight is ongoing. The officer said, yes. Do you like drinking? Well, we got the place for you. Also, you were not on a bus recently, were you?
No, I have not been on a bus in a while.
All right. Do we know where Patrick is? Patrick, our other producer who is off today. Do we know what he's been up to lately?
That I do not know.
All right. I think we have to ask him some questions. It's common for passengers to stand while riding inside buses. You can, okay, that's called foreshadowing. But on Tuesday afternoon, a passenger was spotted standing on the roof of a Maple Grove transit bus as it rolled on the freeway in North Minneapolis. Motorists with their cell phone cameras caught the action of a woman, okay, so not Patrick, waving arms and stumbling atop the articulated bus and posted them on social media. Minnesota Department of Transportation cameras also showed the passenger lying down on top of the bus at about 4 p.m. as it traveled on eastbound Interstate 94 near the Dowling Avenue area. Yesterday was a wild one, said Mike Opatz. Yesterday was a wild one, said Michael Opatz, the spokesman for the Suburban Transit Agency. It's not your run-of-the-mill incident. We hope we never see it again. You think? Or are you gonna kind of like Cub fans? You're gonna put some seats up there, and it's a lesser rate, but you get bugs in the teeth. So you know it's kind of one of those things. And rain is kind of a mess.
I would be very nervous about going under any tunnel.
Oh, God, you're right. God, there's a few bridges up there that's got to be pretty close.
The bus driver has to put a duck sign down.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Ow! It's not the way. Okay, there are ways I want to go out in the world. That is not one of them. The express route 781 had dropped off passengers at the Maple Grove transit station and thought it to be empty as it was returning to downtown Minneapolis to begin another run. The woman, Opatz believed, had taken the bus to Maple Grove, but then hid behind a seat. During the trip downtown, she opened the hatch and climbed onto the roof. You have to be pretty nimble to do that, Opatz said, noting the opening is quite small. Drivers on the freeway called 911 and Metro Transit Police, and the State Patrol did respond. The bus driver also knew something was amiss and pulled over, Opatz said. The operator alertly and carefully pulled the bus over onto the shoulder of the interstate, hopefully not in a tree area. Ow. The operator pulled over. No injuries reported, said Drew Curry, Metro Transit spokesperson. Metro Transit provides drivers for Maple Grove. No one was hurt in the incident. Thank God! Because you're right. Okay, so is that the 42nd is kind of at an angle. So you probably would not have a problem there. But isn't that like the 57th is kind of a flat one?
Yeah. Oh,
God. Oh, you know, it's like the Polar Express when they got the train that's going to the tunnel and there's exactly like 1 inch of clearance there. Good luck.
Isn't that how Dennis Hopper died in the Speed movie?
Yeah, it is.
At the end, he got his head taken off because he ran into a tunnel.
God, you didn't think this through, did you? Yeah. I don't think you thought this through. It's not going to be the trip you like. Boy, I mean, I think about the bridges there. Broadway. There's Broadway, there's a bridge. God, that's a flat one. 55 bridge is a flat one. God, you're lucky you didn't get killed. Now, I don't know how much clearance the buses have there, but if you're standing, I got to believe it's whisper thin at that point.
Yeah, you're going to have to go be lying face down to try to make it through that thing.
Boy, there's proof positive you didn't think it through. Lying face down, mouth to bus on the top of an MTC bus. Mmm, smoky flavor. Delicious. Just think of licking the walls in the Lowry Hill Tunnel. That's what you're going to get. Oh, God. Yikes. You've seen how dirty that tunnel gets sometimes? Ugh. Yeah, just a big old, yum. Jesus. Well, thank God. Don't do this again. All right? No one, this is not a TikTok challenge, kids. It's not. Because if this is, it's only a matter of time before someone does get Dennis Hopper off the top of the thing.
Yes.
I'm coming up with a lot of colorful language tonight, am I? And I really am. 952-946-6205. Beavers in Lower Town. Dennis Hopper. I mean, where else will this show go? Hey, let's look at the Republican Party, shall we? Oh. Oh. This is ambrosia. This is ambrosia. So, for all you Democrats, and you're wondering, why exactly did I kind of go off on you for being the doom and gloom Democrat? We're going to lose. Have you seen what's going on within the Republican Party? Have you seen what's going on within the Republican Party? First story. A faction of the Clay County Republicans held a convention in a rural farmhouse on Saturday, even though the Minnesota Republican Party canceled the planned convention amid a power struggle within the county party. The faction not being recognized by the state GOP. Oh, I gotta imagine that hurt their feelings a little bit. And by the way, we should mention, this is not the first time we have brought this up. This is a group of people that they've been having some problems with this group for a while up in Clay County. A faction not being recognized by the state GOP went ahead with the convention anyway, approving resolutions and electing delegates they say will show up at upcoming congressional and statewide conventions. Edwin Hahn of Moorhead has refused to step down his chair after some members of the Clay County Republican Party voted to remove him on March 8th due to ethical violations and conduct unbecoming. They then elected Rod Johnson of Howley as chair. Johnson told the forum Hahn was voted out because he harassed delegates, bullied and intimidated people, and put personal beliefs over party platform. You're not. How? That doesn't sound like Republican. Oh, that's actually every Republican I've ever met outside of like a small few. Let's see. Harass delegates, bully and intimidate people, and put personal beliefs over party platform. Yeah, that's your standard Republican today. Hahn called it a coup d'etat orchestrated by Calvin Benson, the son of gubernatorial candidate Michelle Benson. Wow, really? So we're now bringing Michelle Benson in on this. He also works at outreach for U.S. Representative Michelle Fischbach. The Minnesota Republican Party served Hahn with a cease and desist order on March 17th. I have an update on that coming up in just a moment after the break, demanding that he stop representing himself as the party chair. After the Moorhead National Guard Army backed away from hosting the convention, state GOP officials canceled the whole thing. They said there was no time to hold the convention before their deadline. Instead, the state party will recognize delegates and alternates elected in 2020. Hahn said in a Wednesday press release that 2 days before the convention, he and Johnson had come to an agreement on how to peacefully convene and bring the party together. But when Hahn showed up at the armory Friday morning to begin side entry by a staff sergeant because Johnson's faction did not have the lease. Then the guard canceled the event and the state party followed suit. Hahn's faction up anyway, gathered at the armory in freezing temperatures, convening a meeting and affirming the credentials of 30 delegates. They took the hour recess and moved to the living room of a farmhouse in Glendon. Oh, how nice. Oh, who has some cookies? Oh, let's pass those around. Hahn said more than 40 Republicans from precincts around the county showed up, approved resolutions, and chose 22 delegates, 6 alternates, and present them at congressional statewide conventions. Hahn called it an encouraging demonstration, and the will of the people will not be cast aside by those who seek to enforce their own personal grievances and bizarre claims upon the party. He then castigated the state party, the Minnesota GOP's attempt to silence the grassroots voices and expressed will of the people by announcing the cancellation of the official convention was a sad continuation of recent attempts by a bitter few to overrule the majority of people, Hahn said in the release. Yay, Maddie, happy. Johnson told the forum that Fargo that Hahn had directed him to sign a loyalty pledge, saying the party was engaged in spiritual warfare on behalf of Jesus Christ. No, that's the response most people have to your platform. Jesus Christ! By the way, Republicans, your Bible does not have the Gospel of Matthew in it. It doesn't. Or Luke, for that matter, a good portion of John, and a good portion of Mark as well. You like Leviticus. You love the Old Testament. You don't like what actually Jesus taught. You just don't. And so, as a guy that's pretty offended that you guys keep trying to make Jesus Christ Republican, Jesus Christ was not Republican. If anything, he agreed with about 95% of the Democratic Party platform. He did. Go read the Gospel of Matthew, you freaks. He also said... He expects more legal proceedings to arise. God, this is just great. This is just slow burn. Oh, just smell those leaves starting to go up and flame on. There's also an update on this from BroadCorp. I'll get that in a second. But before we go to the break, Eric is in Ramsey. I want to be very careful with this, Eric. Go right ahead.
Hi, Matt. Back in the late 90s, there was a 16-year-old boy, I believe it was having his bar mitzvah. They had rented a bus for his birthday, him and, 20 of his friends, and they were riding around the cities, and he was having fun. He probably wasn't drinking, but, how kids are. He had his head out of the rear hatch in the bus that they had rented.
Uh-oh.
And literally lopped on 94 going into Minneapolis. I mean, it probably rolled like a bowling ball out of the Big Lebowski or something.
No, okay. I think you're doing Chef from Apocalypse Now at this point. When I was at Metro Traffic, I did see one of the more unappealing things. And like I said, I don't mind the story, dude. I don't need the bowling ball reference, okay? Motorcycle rider. He went down, but he didn't go down fast enough, and he caught the side of a semi.
Uh-oh.
When the cameras showed the accident, before they shut them off, because they will shut them off if there's clearly been a death, you saw the motorcycle helmet over here, and you saw the victim over there. That is not a way I want to go. And like you said, you brought up a good point with this bus thing. You didn't think that through because it's not like those buses have, the buses are pretty tall. Now they're great and they're not semis, but if you're standing up on top of a bus, come on, you're just asking to get really, really, really hurt, if not killed. We're also missing the point about falling off the side of the bus as you go 60 miles an hour down to 94.
Yeah. I mean, if you're sitting there, standing on the bus and you see that low bridge coming and you're going 60 miles an hour, it's not like you're hopping off the bus or trying to get down. You can't exactly do that.
You're not going to James Bond it on the back of the train and dangle there. You're just not going to, that's not going to happen. Oh, God. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Enough of those stories. Tell you what, when I come back, Broadcorp has an update on the old Clay County Republicans. And there's more. Yes, the Republican Party is imploding. And I love it. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Oh, so now people are sending me the story. That happened in 1996. Safety, guys. Come on, man. You want to be careful with that. There are ways I want to go. That's not one of them. That's not one of them. So 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. So the Clay County Republicans, they've got some issues going on right now. And, of course, one of their one of the people that's been covering Republicans quite a bit is our friend, Michael Broadcorp. And basically it's the Edwin Hahn, the deposed chair. This is from earlier today. He's the deposed chair of the Clay County of Minnesota GOP, sent a letter to the Minnesota GOP chair, David Hahn. Now, basically, David Hahn, by the way, is H-A-N-N. Edwin Hahn is H-A-H-N, so no relation. Informing them that to immediately cease and desist interfering in the management of the Clay County Republicans. The full letter here. Let's see if I can pull this up here. Dear Chair Hahn. Now, this is how many pages is it? This is a 12-page letter? Okay. This letter is to serve as a formal notice that you must immediately cease and desist interfering with the management of the Clay County BPOU that is outside the scope of the state party functions. Start putting out false information about the fraudulent proceedings that took place in Clay County on March 8th, 2022. Additionally, this letter serves as a formal notice that you and the Minnesota GOP staff and volunteers must immediately cease and desist and making slanderous and false public statements about me directly to people through press releases and posts on social media. He then goes through what can only be described of a laundry list of detailed grievances. I guess this is going to go down on your permanent record. I just want you to know that. It's on your permanent record.
That does kind of sound like the tone of the letter.
Oh, my God.
Let me go to page 12 here.
Okay, I love when idiots try to sound like legally smart. Because this line here is, further, your affiant saith not. So endeth the lesson. Whatever. I declare under penalty of perjury of everything I stated in this document. So, all right. He's clarifying things. Oh, God. They're a mess. And I want to remind you. Oh, here's the thing. We are fully prepared to pursue all legal remedies and both protect the Clay County BPOU and my reputation. Please confirm your written compliance by Friday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. Well, on a final note, rather than continuing your efforts to interfere with the growing number of people across Minnesota who are working to elect actual Republicans to political office, I encourage you to work on fixing the countless issues that still exist at the Minnesota GOP. Thank you. Thank you. That boy, I think he's got a point. I don't think that they should settle this fight anytime soon. Oh, it sounds like it's tough. I want to remind everyone, we had Heather Keeler on. She is the representative from Moorhead. I believe the senator out there, isn't the senator DFL? For Senate District 4. Is that a DFL or not? Because the way that the redistricting happened, I believe it was a shift to the DFL in that district. So that was going to be one of those seats where the Republicans were going to throw everything in the kitchen sink to, you know, because, okay, we've talked about this before. You need, I think it was 33 Senate seats to be, go the DFL's way, and then they take control of the Senate. There are pretty much 29 safe DFL Senate seats in the metro area. There are two which are borderline. It depends on the year, but they probably could go DFL, they could go Republican. But you got 29 safe ones. You got one safe one in Rochester. That's 30. You got one, at least one safe one up in Duluth. There's one there. You got one safe one in St. Cloud. Well, now we're getting to 32, and all you need is one more.
You need two more, actually 34. And Kent Ekin is the DFLer, senator.
Senator up there. And then we have, who's the guy we had on Democrat of the Day down in Mankato?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's...
Bon voyage.
34.
Bye, Paul. No, excuse me, Jeremy Miller. Sorry, Jeremy Miller. Bye. There you are. That was one of those seats where that was their firewall. And look at it. There's a fire right now, but it's not with the DFL. Oh, God. This is just great. Because, reminder, there are a lot of Republicans in that district who think that the GOP is right, and they disagree with this guy. It's not like he was thrown out by the Minnesota GOP themselves. It was local GOPers threw him out. So this is only going to get more and more delicious. Oh, and they're going to show up to the convention.
That's going to be quite the sight to see.
It's not going to be as Michelle McDonald being prevented from going into the GOP booth at the Minnesota State Fair, I think it was in 2014. That was magnificent. That was magnificent. But it's going to be pretty close.
Well, thankfully, at these Republican conventions, there's often a lot of level-headed people there that'll be able to settle this dispute.
I mean, right now, the Republicans have got to be, I mean, they've got to have both butt cheeks clenched tight about what's going to happen at that convention. I think they are. I think they're scared to death. Especially if this Eric Mortensen crew, the Action for Liberty, these far right guys, I think they're terrified they're going to show up and try to hijack the entire convention.
Oh, and they're just going to get egged on too, completely.
Oh, yeah. Because right now, once again, Republicans, you screwed this up yourself. Why? Because you welcomed in the lunatic fringe, and then you expected the lunatic fringe to take your orders and commands. And that's not how it works. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I'd mentioned that Eric Mortensen, Action for Liberty crew, that's on that far right of the party. And once again, this is why I get so damn infuriated when I hear pathetic Democrats say, we're gonna lose. Shut up. They're a mess right now in the Republican Party, and it's for that reason. I mentioned right before I went to the break, Republicans embraced the far-right lunatic fringe. I've said this story before. I don't know if you've ever heard me say this, but George H.W. Bush, back in 1992, was running for re-election, and Ralph Reed came on into the White House and said, bring me on in. You put me at the table, I'll get you the most loyal volunteers and we'll win. And they said, thank you, and they sent him on his way. And they basically, the H.W. Bush campaign says, if you invite that lunatic fringe into the party, that eventually they'll control the party because they're not going to go away. Only a fool would do that. Fast forward to 2004. The W. Bush administration had lost basically the blue-collar workers that they promised were going to bring jobs. They never did. Guess what, workers? The Republicans are lying to you. They are. They just are. And they have for a long time. But you keep thinking that, oh, maybe this time this Republican will be on my side. Sure they will. Anywho, in 2004, after the blue-collar workers, the Democratic blue-collar workers abandoned W., Cheney and Rove desperate to stay in power, went out to the anti-abortion lunatic fringe, the militias, the racists, the Nazis. They brought all these people in to the party and said, "We'll give you a seat at the table if you basically help us win," which they did. But that was the beginning of it. Not even 4 years later, John McCain got saddled with freaking Sarah Palin as his running mate. I mean, Donald Trump is just the apex of that mountain. And here they are. And the Republicans, and I look at guys like Michael Broadcorp, who's a moderate Republican, and I can tell that he's just so frustrated with where this party is at right now, because there's no putting that genie back in the freaking bottle. These people were never, you should have never given them a platform, because they're the lunatic fringe. And so now you validated them, and they're not going to go away. Also from our good friends at the Minnesota Reformer, right-wing anti-vax, anti-mask, Stop the Steal candidates are shaking up a few of the local Republican conventions in Minnesota. The establishment has not come out on top, and although the establishment has come out on top most of them, at least 8 people affiliated with the right-wing activist group Action for Liberty are running for governor or the legislature, challenging their leader, what their leader calls weak and feckless Republicans. And some are winning. Republican State Senator Eric Pratt lost to newcomer and pro-health freedom nurse Natalie Barnes on the Saturday endorsing convention for newly drawn Senate District 54. Tom Dipple, another Action for Liberty candidate, was endorsed over State Representative Tony Jurgens, Republican from Cottage Grove in the new Senate District 41. You're not going to win that. You're not going to win Cottage Grove. Action for Liberty President Jake Duesenberg celebrated those endorsements as wins against liberal rhinos, Republicans in name only. And earlier this month, Mark Bischofsky, a respiratory therapist who says he was terminated for refusing to get COVID-19 vaccination, was endorsed by Republicans in the new House District 33B, created by redistricting in Washington County. Wow. Washington County used to be just strong. They're going to give that seat up now. That, I believe, I'm not joking. When I was talking about the 20, the House seats that were safe, Washington County is one of those where it's not clear. But if you run some loon ball who's like anti-medicine, anti-vax, you can't allow these people to say, "Hey, those people on the left are trying to label me as a loon ball, but I'm not. I'm for schools and air and land and sea." Vote for Republican. You can't allow them to. You got to throw this. There's plenty of footage. Got to throw it back in their face. Bischofsky started a health freedom group called Stop the Mandate. Led a march to the governor's mansion. He said drew thousands of people. I don't think it drew thousands, maybe a few hundred, but no. Bischofsky defeated a St. Paul police commander and Stillwater school board member of the Republican endorsement. Think about that. Think about, okay, this is not, once again, this is not some district out in Farmington or Pipestone or, you know, down in you know, by St. Cloud or up on the 94 corridor with Big Lake and stuff. This is Washington County. And you had a St. Paul police commander running, and the lunatic fringe is so permeated the Republican Party that they basically, this is their guy. A person that thinks that basically that they should, anytime you disagree with someone, should march to the Capitol. That one of those guys. Yeah. When was the last time I'm marching at the Capitol? That generally hasn't worked out too well, hasn't it? No. During his convention speech, Bischofsky said he grew up, he gave up his 22-year career rather than get vaccinated, fought to get ivermectin to patients. Once again, ivermectin, a horse dewormer, not used for humans too much. And by the way, there was a little story that kind of got ignored a little bit. They actually did research on ivermectin. Did not make you any healthier. Did not, but sure, okay. Ivermectin. Decried masks as face muzzles. He called out the radical woke left agenda. Hello! And Governor Walz, tyranny! Tyranny!
It's tyranny!
I got news for you. You want to see what tyranny is? Go to Ukraine. You know, you basically having to get vaccinated because your private business said you needed to. That's not tyranny. That's just you deciding not to. And you decided not to, so you should live with the consequences. I guess his policy is going to be that no one has to get vaccinated ever. So let's welcome back smallpox, polio, all that good stuff. Great. Great. He defined as shutting down businesses and forcing people to wear masks. Tyranny. Wow.
Remember, those are face muzzles.
Face muzzles. They're not masks. It's a face diaper. Face diaper was my favorite. Face diaper. And they said it just like that. They got so incensed that they couldn't control themselves. It became face diaper. I mean, very Gollum in one of those things, you know. Go watch Lord of the Rings. I think that is the second movie when he does that scream. It's quality. That's your standard Republican right there.
Face muzzle.
At the same district, incumbent GOP Senator Karen Housley fended off a challenge by conservative activist Monty Moreno. Action for Liberty celebrated the fact that it took three rounds of balloting before Housley was mustered 60% support. Wow. Housley is loved in that district, too, by the Republicans. And she barely got through. Meanwhile, Representative Eric Mortensen, a hero for Action for Liberty, failed to win the endorsement of House District 54A during a March 4th GOP convention. Neither Mortensen nor former Representative Bob Lunin, who was endorsed, and will duke it out for a primary for the third time. All right, guys, come on. This isn't rocket science. Stop listening to the Republican talking points. Look what's going on out there in the Republican Party. It's not just, well, Matt, that's a red district that was never going to go deep. Go pick up Washington County. You go pick up Washington County for the DFL, it ain't going back. It's like a Dyna. Republicans for years tried hard to hold on to Edina, but then it went to other Democrats and it's not gone back. And now they don't even really try there anymore. Same thing is happening on Lake Minnetonka right now. Used to be you had to be the reddest of red to win any district around Lake Minnetonka. Now, outside of the very western part of that state, most of their representation is becoming more and more blue. And with Osmic's district just getting redistricted into nothing, he's gone. He's not going to win. No, this is the change. And now Washington County, let's go with Washington County. Fine. The Republicans want to run some guy that's going to basically scream about face diapers or face muzzles and act as if getting vaccinated during a pandemic is a bridge too far. Fine. That's case. Or that thinks that marching on the governor's mansion every time you have a disagreement and calling it tyranny when he's basically the governor's trying to keep people safe. Fine. Let him. The only way they will win is if you're pathetic losers who sit there and say, we're going to lose. That's the only way. Let me repeat that. That's the only way they're going to win is if the Democrats allow them to win. They're a mess. And some of the echoes I am hearing, it's not just these races, that in races across the state in the Republican side, that all of a sudden far right loon ball candidates are getting 20, 30, 40%, even in districts with well-liked Democrats, Republicans, with well-liked Republicans. That all of a sudden this lunatic fringe is there and very vocal. And their mentality is that you should punch any Democrat the second you see them. And this is kind of the and you say, "Hell, Matt, that's not what we're saying." Kind of, you know. What are you saying then? Because that's kind of what it sounds like you're saying. That you should be able to assault a Democrat because they're trying to kill America. That sort of thing. That's what it sounds like half the time. And the reality is most people do. You already have every Democrat against them. And once again, if you just do what else I've said, which is if everyone who's listening to my voice right now gets five people registered to vote and then make sure that those people show up to vote on election day, the House and Senate are going to be firmly within the DFL control hands coming up this next election. All right? That simple. But that's just the DFL. Independents, moderate Republicans. I know some moderate Republicans will you know, plug their nose and vote Republican just because they just don't know how to do it anymore. But if you're a Republican who's a doctor and you've got a candidate who's out there saying, you know, you don't need vaccinations. Face masks are horrible. It's tyranny. Say you got that. Are you really comfortable voting for that as your representation in St. Paul? You had Republicans already go down to the Mayo Clinic. The Mayo freaking clinic. The number one hospital on the planet. And try to tell them how to medicine. Democrats, stop with your doom and gloom. Stop with the, unless they do everything I want, I hate that Democrat. Stop it. Stop with listening to Republican talking points. Let's go clean these clowns' clocks, okay? Let's just do that. Let's just go out there and dominate, because this year is built for the Democrats to dominate, to go against the trend, to pick up the Minnesota Senate, to pick up more houses in the Minnesota House. I mean, it's more seats in the Minnesota House, to hold the governorship, hold the Secretary of State, the auditor, the Attorney General. It is made for that. And the only thing that can stop the Democrats right now, the only thing is the Democrats. So let's turn that frown upside down, okay? Let's turn on the sunshine. You can win. And I'll tell you what, I am tired of the Democrats acting as if there's no chance. And I'm dead serious. If I come across you, if you're a Democratic politician and you're talking about, we're not going to win, I am going to destroy you right there. I will drop you verbally that you will never want to run again. I will. And the reality is, I think that's my job, is to get people who are pathetic, spineless cowards out of the way and get strong DFLers in those races. Because right now, the Republican Party is a clown car on fire, going over a waterfall. Bon voyage. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. This has been therapeutic today. This has been therapeutic. Absolutely. Let's take a break. Come on back. Minnesota coronavirus update when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Trish, I do apologize. That's, yeah. Ugh. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number there. Or here. Somewhere. Call it. We'll find out where it goes. Wednesday's COVID-19 update from the Minnesota Department of Health includes 356 newly reported cases, 11 newly reported deaths. The state's COVID death toll now is 12,401. Today's update includes case data that was reported in a 24-hour period ending at 4 a.m. on Tuesday. Minnesota's test positivity rate in the 7-day rolling average is 2.8. So here we go. We're at 2.7 on Thursday, 2.7 on Friday, 2.9 yesterday, or 2.7 on Monday, 2.9 yesterday, and now to 2.8. They're saying now that BA2, Dr. Joe Eastman, we had him on talking about the other variant of Omicron. He said now the BA2 is 55% of all the cases in the United States right now is BA2. So I'm going to go get my booster in a heartbeat. That booster, I'm over 50. I can go get one in a heartbeat. Thank you, VA, Veterans Administration. I'll go over to the hospital over there and get that done. Going back to the Minnesota coronavirus update, through March 29th, the number of people with COVID-19 hospitalized in Minnesota was 194. That's down from 200 reported on March 28th. Of those hospitalized, 29 people in intensive care. That's up actually from 27. 165 are in non-ICU care. That's down from 171. That is the number there. Also, let's see here. The ICU admissions at the lowest since mid-July. A non-ICU admissions lowest since the beginning of August. As of March 27th, they reported 3,892,614 people have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. 3,681,777 people haven't completed the vaccine series. There are 2,547,164 Minnesotans up to date with their vaccine shots. And that includes boosters. 1,429,051 cases of COVID in the state of Minnesota. So get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. Get your booster shots. Please do. Please do. Yeah, please. 952-946-6205. A representative I do not talk enough about, but I do love her. I think she's fantastic. Representative Betty McCollum, number 4 over on the St. Paul side, has become the latest Democrat to call for the resignation of Clarence Thomas from the Supreme Court of the United States following revelations that his wife's involvement in the January 6th Capitol insurrection. There are growing calls for the conservative justice to be impeached or forced to resign from SCOTUS after it emerged that 29 texts were sent between his wife, Ginny Thomas, and former President Trump's then chief of staff between November 5th and January 10th, in which she urged him to overturn the results of the presidential election. She repeated right-wing slogans and election conspiracy theories in the text. No, dude, she was dipping into the QAnon pool. I mean, she was out there on the insane side of that whole thing. She is not a rational human being. And the question then comes down, was she dictating for her husband how to rule on certain cases? And it kind of seems like, we don't have any evidence of it for sure yet, but it does seem like there is some kind of evidence that something was going on. When she claims there are no conflict of interest between her actions and her husband's role in SCOTUS, that has put Clarence Thomas under pressure. The fact that he was the only justice to vote for the release of hundreds of documents related to the President Trump's time in the White House to a bipartisan House committee. And by the way, can I step back for that for a second? You cannot say he's not conflict of interest. His own wife, and he probably knew this, his own wife was probably part of all those documents. And so he didn't want those documents released. And so he ruled against it. Of course it's a conflict of interest. Alito and Gorsuch voted to release all the documents. Alito and Gorsuch. He was the only one who said no. And maybe do we find out that he was campaigning against, with Gorsuch and Alito and maybe Kavanaugh, maybe someone else? They're to basically say, hey, we need a rule against this because we got to protect Trump. Were you campaigning there? I think that's a legitimate question to ask because you have been compromised. That is undeniable. Betty McCollum joining Ilhan Omar calling for his resignation. So I'm 100% for that because, he shouldn't be on the Supreme Court at this point. Native Roots Radio is up next. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.